Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to 7 Time Sports. I am your host, Alaric Anderson. So glad to be back with you this week. We have a lot going on. We know that the brackets came out for the men's and the women's NCAA basketball championships. They don't like to call it the Final Four until it gets to the Final Four. We had some play-in games last night. We got a lot of NBA to talk about with the Warriors going now. Going 5-6 or 6-5 in their last 11 games, a lot of those without Kevin Durant. So we want to talk about the Golden State Warriors as it relates to them and fighting for that number one spot in the Western Conference with the San Antonio Spurs. We want to talk about those Cleveland Cavaliers who made a very interesting signing of Larry Sanders. Cat hasn't been in the league for a while. Talk a little baseball. Saw my boy Yadi Molina out there playing for Puerto Rico yesterday, doing his thing. I'm going to talk about Yadi a lot because I think Yadi is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I don't think he gets enough recognition in my hometown in St. Louis. Happy day after 314 day here in St. Louis. It's March 15th, but yesterday we celebrated here in the Lou 314 day. We are so St. Louis, and you know, looking through my Facebook pages and on my feed, I was really, really, my heart was really done well looking at all the wonderful memories that people who grew up in this area enjoyed. And so I just wanted to holler out to my St. Louis folks. Happy day after 314, 314, happy day after. St. Louis is a wonderful place. We have a lot of wonderful memories, and I'm hoping that we make some more memories here in the St. Louis area as we go forward. Well, let me start where I love to be, basketball. Let's talk about basketball. Let's talk about the NCAA tournament. The brackets have come out. I have done 2 brackets. I went out there to the ESPN Tournament Challenge, and that's not an endorsement. I'm just saying I went out there and did it. I wanted to see how I would rank against people all over the world. And so I entered one of those brackets. How many of y'all checked out that bracket challenge? It was almost on for 24 hours, I think, that they had on the other night. I think it was really, really cool. I'm a sports nut, so when watching that, I was enthralled with all the stuff they did. They even did a cereal bracket, which was out of control, and the greatest cereal of all time won Captain Crunch, although I'm a Crunchberry cat. But a lot goes into these brackets, putting these brackets together. Last weekend was crazy with all the wild games and finishes and all the teams getting an opportunity. Shout out to Northwestern University, which is up in Evanston, Illinois. This is their first NCAA tournament, their first all-time NCAA tournament. Shout out to Coach Chris Collins, former Duke player, son of Doug Collins, NBA great. Current broadcaster for taking that team to their first NCAA tournament. I think it's going to be a great tournament. Now, Villanova's going in as the favorite. Villanova's only lost 3 games. 2 of those were against Butler. They won last year. If you remember last year's game against North Carolina, they won on a last-second shot. Carolina was up, last-second shot. They came back this year, and only one team seems to have their number, and that's Butler. And I don't see Butler in their bracket, so I think Villanova has a clear shot to be repeat NCAA champions. And just a little side note, when they finished this season, they would have played 39 games, I believe, 39 or 40 games. That's almost a half of an NBA season. That's a big deal. I remember back in my day in college, winning 20 games was a big deal. Villanova has won 31 games already going into the tournament. So I have Villanova winning in one of my brackets. In my other bracket, I have Arizona winning. So, so we're going to go through those brackets real soon. But let's just look deep into this tournament. We have a bunch of blue bloods this time in the tournament with high seeds. You got Villanova, Kansas, with number one seeds. You have Gonzaga with a number one seed, and you have UNC, University of North Carolina, with the number one seed. I told you last week that I would love to see Gonzaga win one, but man, they're going against a red hot two seed in the West, and that would be Arizona. So it's going to be a hard time for them to make it all the way through and win. They would, if they were to make it to the Final Four, it would be something special. In one of my brackets, excuse me, I actually have them making it to the Final Four, playing Arizona, and losing to Arizona in the not Final Four, in the Elite Eight, losing in the regional finals, Western Regional Finals. I have them losing to Gonzaga, Gonzaga losing to Arizona, I mean, and then Arizona playing Villanova and Oregon winning the Midwest Regional, playing against UNC. And then my final game in one of my brackets, I have Villanova against UNC with Villanova winning 72-65. That's one of my brackets. One of my brackets. It's a pretty strong bracket. A lot of it is chalk. For those of you all don't understand that terminology, chalk means you advance in one of the top four seeds. That's all it is. You making it really easy. You're looking at the top four seeds, and you're advancing two or three or four of them into the Final Four. So my tournament is a little my bracket is a little chalk. In the first round in the East, we'll just go through it real quick for those of you all who are keeping score, want to keep me honest. In the East Regional, in that 116 game, Villanova, I got Villanova winning that game over Mount St. Mary's, who came out last night and won that game. If you saw that game, New Orleans kind of imploded at the very end. And so Mount St. Mary's were able to pull that game off. They get Villanova in the first round. That's not a good thing. So I see Villanova walking over them, getting to the second round of 32. They call this round, the round of 64, the second round. I don't understand how they're going to try all that. But for our intents and purposes, the round of 32 is the second round. For me, I'm old school, so that's how it's going to be. The next game is Wisconsin, Virginia Tech. Wisconsin, Virginia Tech. That's an 8-9 game. I got Virginia Tech going into that round of 32 against Villanova. Next bracket, the 5-12 game, University of Virginia going against UNC Wilmington. I have Virginia going on to play Florida, the winner of that 4-13 game. With Florida and Virginia, 4-5 chalk, as I said, a 4-5 matchup in that round of 32. And then to finish off the East bracket, I have SMU playing Baylor in the round of 32 and Duke playing Marquette. Marquette is led by Steve Wojciechowski, former Duke guard. So that should be a real, real cool matchup. Krzyzewski against Wojciechowski. Try to say that three times fast. So that's my round of 32 in the East bracket. In the Midwest bracket, that 1-16 game, I got Kansas advancing to play Michigan State, who will be the winner of the 8-9 game, Michigan State and Miami. You can't do any better than self against Izzo. Then in that 5-12 game with Iowa State playing Nevada, I have Iowa State advancing to that round of 32 to play Purdue, who were the winners of the Big Ten this year. Congratulations to Purdue. They'll beat Vermont in that first round 4-13 game. So I have chalk right there, Purdue playing Iowa State in the round of 32. To finish out the Midwest region, I have Creighton advancing over Rhode Island and Oregon, the 3 seed, advancing over Iona, who's a 14 seed. And then in that last game, we got some blue bloods coming up. I got Michigan in that 7-10 game, beating Oklahoma State to face Louisville. Louisville will win that 2-15 game against Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State, thanks for coming. Patino will prevail in that game. So in the Midwest, my round of 32 is Kansas, Michigan State, Iowa State, Purdue, Creighton, Oregon, and Michigan, Louisville. Moving on to the South region. That 1-16 game, I got UNC trouncing Texas Southern. Thank you for coming. to play number 8 Arkansas with Mike Anderson, former coach of the University of Missouri. He will be beating Seton Hall in that first round, and they will meet UNC in the round of 32. The next set of games, 5-12 game, is Minnesota versus Middle Tennessee. I see that Big Ten team, Minnesota, advancing to play Butler, who will win that 4-13 game over Winthrop. So I have chalk there with Butler versus Minnesota. And to finish out the South, I have Cincinnati over the Big 12, Kansas State University, who won a play-in game last night. And Cincinnati will meet the darling of the tournament, the home of Lonzo Ball. They will meet number 3 UCLA after UCLA handles Kent in that 3-14 game. I have Wichita State winning that 17 game over Dayton. Wichita State moving on to from the Missouri Valley Conference, moving on to play from the SEC. Kentucky powerhouse will beat Northern Kentucky. I wonder if that game will ever be played again, Kentucky versus Northern Kentucky. And I think it really depends on how well Northern Kentucky does in this bracket. So in the South, I have a 1-8 game. I have UNC playing Arkansas. I have 4-5 with Butler and Minnesota, Cincinnati and UCLA, Wichita State and Kentucky. Wichita State and Kentucky. Moving on to that West Regional. Number 1 Gonzaga will trounce South Dakota State, and they will meet in that next round of 32. Vanderbilt out of the SEC. Vandy will beat the Northwestern team, the Wildcats of Northwestern. The combined GPAs on those teams is incredible, but Vandy will prevail. The SEC will prevail. Moving on to the round of 32. After that, I have Notre Dame beating Princeton in a 5-12 game, and West Virginia beating Bucknell to meet Notre Dame in that next round. Maryland will prevail over Xavier, and Florida State will win over Florida Gulf Coast. Welcome back to the tournament, Florida Gulf Coast. Really great team, and their coach went on from their last time of making a real NCAA run. That coach is now the coach at USC. He won't be coaching this time. So I see Maryland playing Florida State in the next round. And then VCU over St. Mary's. And to round that out, Arizona will prevail over North Dakota. So that is my round of 32. Those are my teams I have making it to the round of 32. Villanova, West Virginia, Virginia, Florida, SMU, Baylor, Marquette, Duke, Kansas, Michigan State, Iowa State, Purdue, Creighton, Oregon, Michigan, Louisville, North Carolina, Arkansas, Minnesota, Butler, Cincinnati, UCLA, Wichita, Kentucky, Arizona, VCU, FSU, Maryland, West Virginia, Notre Dame, Vandy, and Gonzaga. It should be a great tournament. You know, they start tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are the most magnificent days of basketball to me. You get wall-to-wall basketball starting in the morning, a little before noon Central Standard Time, and you'll be watching games all the way up till about 1 o'clock in the morning, watching those late West Coast games. That's just with the NCAA tournament. If you are an IT person, you'll be seeing a lot of games. The NBA is getting heated. They're making that push towards playoff time. So, yeah, man, it's going to be a big, big weekend of basketball. I told you in my last show that I wanted to track these kids that are going to be moving on and playing in the on the next level. Players like Lonzo Ball, the kid from Washington, my boy and homeboy from St. Louis, Jason Tatum. I think this tournament will be a coming out party for Jason Tatum. Look, we in St. Louis know how great of a player he is. He's a great kid, has a great family. But I think now it's time for America to see how great a player this kid can be. And I think he will be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. Once it all washes out, he has an unlimited ceiling, or as Michael Jordan says, his ceiling, his floor is the ceiling, or something like that. I don't know what Mike was talking about. But I think it's going to be a great tournament. I think you're going to see him come forth as a really a player that transcends, sends college basketball in the Final Four when they make it. Excuse me. I don't have Duke winning at all, but you can imagine what it would be like down in Duke if he led Duke to a championship. So I wish him well. I wish all the kids well. I hope they're all healthy and play well. I know Kansas State's point guard got a little dinged up last night. I haven't checked the wire to see how he's doing. I'm hoping he's doing well. I would like to see all the teams at full strength. I know Baylor is missing their big shot blocker and three-point shooter. The kid got hurt in the Pac-10 tournament. There are a few more injuries that are littered amongst the field of 64. But I'm hoping that all these kids come out well and do well in the tournament. And it's going to be really exciting watching all of them play. So as we move on, man, I want you all to know that this broadcast, you can hit me up on Twitter, 7 Times Sports, SEVNX Sports, SPORTS, 7 Times Sports. You can hit me up if you want to tweet me. We're going to be opening up more of our social media. You can always hit us up on Facebook. But it's going to be a chance for me to interact with my fans, fellow fans, not my fans, but fellow fans of sports. And I'm hoping that you all reach out to me and we can make this a real, real interactive show. So in the vein of college basketball, I want us to take a few moments and talk about what's going on, the ball phenomenon that's going on. And I'm not gonna delve right into it. I'm just gonna leave you with this. I was able to watch SC featured, a part of ESPN's Sports Center, and they did a feature on the Ball family and on those three kids and on their dads. And I think it's wonderful for a father to really back their children in their dreams. It looked to me like those kids really enjoy playing ball. Also, that those kids really enjoy being kids. They didn't look real serious. They looked like they were just really good basketball players. So I'm not knocking that side. I do have a problem when you say you can beat Michael Jordan. I do have an issue with that. From my last podcast, Cass, how I feel about Michael Jordan. And if cats who are Hall of Famers had no chance against Michael Jordan, ain't nobody who played 1 year at Washington State and averaged 2 points, 2 rebounds a game. At the same time, Michael was averaging 35 points a game in the pros. Come on, man. Have a seat. Keep pumping up your kids. Keep loving your kids. Keep pushing your kids. But have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. It's not about you. It's about your kids. So that's all I'm going to say about Lonzo Ball. All right, man. So let me know what you did with your brackets. Get you a bracket. I know some of you all are doing brackets at your job. Some of you are doing brackets with your family. I want to see your brackets. So send those brackets to me. Shoot those brackets to me. I want to see it. I want to talk about it. I want to see if somebody can come up with a perfect bracket or close to perfect brackets. The thing I've never seen is somebody with a perfect bracket all the way through. It's just almost impossible, almost virtually impossible to come up with a perfect bracket. But if you do, I just want to see if you make it through to the second round, if you make it through to the Sweet 16, if you make it through to the Elite Eight, if you make it through to the Final Four, that your top teams make it through. So I'm excited. I know you're excited. The whole country's excited. Nobody's going to be working tomorrow. Everybody's going to be watching basketball games, even if they're at work. So happy basketball holiday. This is kind of like our festival here in the United States when it comes to basketball. Moving on, man. Want to touch base real quick. And as you can see, man, I'm just an excited fan. So I'll be all over the place And this is how we are, man. When we talk sports, when we're at the barbershop, when we're in the car with our family, I know my family, we get in some real heated sports debates. My wife is a huge sports fan. My son is a sports fan. I know that you have some of the same conversations. My sons are sports fans. That you have the same kind of conversations that I have, that we have. So I want to talk about the NBA. So I want to switch gears and go to the NBA. Talk about what's happening in the NBA because it's incredible to me. So over this last weekend, you may have noticed that there was a big game. The NBA have these big Saturday night games now that are on ABC, ESPN, that are supposed to be marquee matchups. And this weekend, this past weekend, the matchup was the Golden State Warriors versus the San Antonio Spurs. Now, when you look at the national television schedule and you saw that game, you was like, oh my God, this is going to be an outstanding game. I can't wait to see this. But something happened on the way to last Saturday's game. A couple of things. One, San Antonio was down a few of their starters. Kawhi Leonard was out with due to concussion protocol. You had Tony Parker that was out because of his back. LaMarcus Aldridge out with his heart ailment. And we want to send prayers out to LaMarcus Aldridge. Hope he gets well. Would love to see him back on the court this year playing against my Golden State Warriors. I want them at full strength. So we're sending great vibes out to him. But that was on the San Antonio side. Now, with San Antonio, they always rest players. They've been doing that for years, so they always rest players. So it's not a really big deal when you talk about San Antonio resting players. But something happened that does not normally happen. After a loss on Friday night, Steve Kerr decided to rest Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Andre Iguodala. He decided to rest them. He said that they needed the rest, and so he decided to rest them. And I watched the game on Saturday, and I listened to the hypocrisy of the announcers talking about how it was bad for the game that the players didn't play. After watching this season and last season, and in the case of San Antonio, many seasons before this, where Popovich chose to rest his players, watching Cleveland this year with LeBron not even traveling to some games. But the minute that Golden State decided to rest their players, there was an issue that became a national conversation. Look, Golden State had just been, they were finishing up. The San Antonio game was the completion of a really, really rough set of games that they knew they were having, that they knew was going to be an issue. A lot of travel in that whole thing. They played one home game, and that was against that whole stretch of games. They played one home game that was against the Boston Celtics, which they lost. It was a difficult stretch of games. They did not do well in that stretch of games, and they were noticeably tired. Steve Kerr decided to make that decision right after the game. Now, he says that he made that decision before the game. I'm not saying that Steve Kerr did not. I just believe that was probably after watching that game and watching how tired his players were. But they made a big deal out of that. And here's my thing. I don't have any problem with coaches resting their players, because in the ultimate goal every year is to win the championship. So if you believe that that helps you win the championship, then go right ahead with it. Last year, Golden State Warriors were going for those 72 wins. They subsequently got 73 wins, so they were working really hard to get that. And they played a lot of minutes. There were a lot of minutes that they played. And especially down the stretch going into the playoffs to reach that number. And they were noticeably tired by the time they got to the finals. They got up on Cleveland, and they didn't have another gear to step on, another speed to go to. Part of that was Steph got injured early and never was the same. Draymond got suspended. You had the Bogut injury. You had the bench not doing well. It was a lot of mitigating factors going into them losing that 3-1 lead to Cleveland. And so it was smart for them to rest their players, because Golden State has everything that you could want for from the regular season. They won 73 games. That record will never be touched again unless they broach it. They clinched their playoff position, meaning they made the playoffs faster than any team ever in the history of the NBA this year. They sustained a really big injury, but could have been a catastrophic injury. And so I like what Steve Kerr did the other night. They lost the game. A lot of people were upset about that. Yes, San Antonio has a much better bench than the Golden State Warriors. But the Golden State Warriors don't really need their bench. Once Durant comes back at full speed, they're going to be fine. Matter of fact, this might be good for everybody. I think Steph had a little issue in getting his place back. And so the rest that they got, getting his rhythm back to be the prime scorer, the prime facilitator. So the rest gave them a chance to clear their head and get back to where they want to be and find that next gear. So whereas they lost that game and they were virtually tied with San Antonio after that game, even though San Antonio now holds the tiebreaker, I don't think the tiebreaker will matter. I think Golden State is going to go on a run. I believe that they will win the West by 3 or 4 games. I believe last night they played the Philadelphia 76ers. They were down big in that game, and I saw something from them that I hadn't seen in a while. It wasn't their offensive prowess. It was their defense. And people don't really know, people who don't really follow basketball, they don't understand how great of a defensive team the Golden State Warriors are. If you check any of the metrics that exist, the Golden State Warriors are the number one overall defensive team. They lead the league in block shots. They lead the league in steals. They lead the league in total points allowed. I mean, they lead the league in points allowed from the three-point line. They lead the league in points allowed in the paint. And they are a phenomenal defensive team. What they did last night with the Defensive Player of the Year, if he's not, I don't know what's wrong with the voters, the writers. Please give me a vote. Hopefully one day I'll have a vote. But if you watched that game last night, Draymond Green turned it on in that game in a way that I have rarely seen players be able to do it, and he turned it on the defensive end. The thing about Draymond is that he can guard 1 through 5. He can guard a point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center. I watched him yesterday block Okafor, give it an outlet pass to Matt Barnes, who hit Steph on the left wing for a 3. That's incredible. They played some phenomenal defense. And once they really get their defensive rotation going, get Matt Barnes more used to being out on the floor with those cats, man, Matt Barnes is 6'7". Don't ever forget they have length. Sean Livingston coming off the bench, man, is 6'8". Don't ever forget that they have length at those positions. So, yes, the rest may have shook the broadcasters a bit, but it's going to pay off in the long run. It's going to pay big dividends for the Golden State Warriors, because in watching them last night, Steph was getting his shooting back. I just think he hit a slump, and it happens sometimes. Great players, and you got to understand that they're playing 82 games a season. That's regular season. This Golden State Warrior team won a title 2 years ago, won 73 games and was one game away from a title last year and have already won over 50 games this year in the regular season. So they've played a lot of basketball. They have not been taking the days off that other teams have been taking. And so they were gassed, but last night they showed that they could step on the gas. And so I'm still going with Golden State to win it all. I am concerned about the Cleveland Cavaliers. They just signed Larry Sanders. I just saw on the wire today that they sent him down to the D League to get his timing back. I think they're just trying to see if they can get anything to get them over the hump. And I'm telling you, I could be wrong because I'm not hating on LeBron, but I'm telling you, I don't think the Cleveland Cavaliers will make it out of the East. I said it. I don't think they'll make it out of the East. I don't know who'll get them. I don't know about Boston. I don't know about Toronto. I don't know. Washington, watch out for Washington. I don't think they're going to make it out of the East. I said it. There you go. I don't think they're going to make it out of the East. I think that it's going to be a problem when they get into the playoffs because everybody gets rest. Now, I know you'll say, well, LeBron is. Yes, he is. But I'm looking at the standings right now in the Eastern Conference. This is the Cavaliers with 44 games. They've played 66 games. And with 44 games, they won. The Boston Celtics are 2.5 games back from them. The Washington Wizards are 3 games back from them. The Toronto Raptors are 5 games behind them. Think about that. It's 16 games left in the season. 16 games left in the season. People talk about the Golden State Warriors in their last 10, but the Cavaliers were 4-6 in their last 10. 4-6 in their last 10. San Antonio was 9-1 in their last 10, and they still are not in first place. That's how good the Golden State Warriors are. But let me go back to the East, which I was talking about. Can Boston beat Cleveland in a 7-game series? Absolutely. Can Washington Wizards beat Cleveland in a 7-game series? Absolutely. Can Toronto Raptors? No. Can Atlanta? No. Can Indiana? No. Can Detroit? No. Can Milwaukee? No. But Boston and Washington? Yes. So if you look at it right now and you see 1, 2, 3, and 4, Cleveland, Boston, Washington, Toronto. When they get to that second round, because I believe Toronto will beat Atlanta. Atlanta is just Atlanta. I see Cleveland walking over Milwaukee, although Milwaukee will give them fits. Boston will beat Detroit. If the season ended today is what I'm going with, 1-8. If the season ended today, I don't see Chicago catching Milwaukee. I don't see Miami. Now, Miami may sneak up and catch Milwaukee. It just depends. Miami's playing well. They're 7-3 in their last 10. It could happen. But let's just go with 1-8 right now as of March 15th, 1-8. This is what I see. I see Cleveland walking through Milwaukee. I see Boston walking through Detroit. I see Washington smashing Indiana. And I see Toronto beating Atlanta. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, Cleveland, Boston, Washington, Toronto. I see Cleveland smashing Toronto, although Toronto will take them 6. I see Washington smashing Boston because of the guards, because of Wall and Beal. I see Wall and Beal dominating. And then I see that Eastern Conference final with Cleveland versus Washington. Ooh-wee. You know, Washington don't have anybody to stop LeBron, but who gonna stop Wall and Beal? Okay, you say, well, you put LeBron on Wall. Okay, who gonna stop Beal? That's where the issue is gonna come. The issue is gonna come in them being able to defend those guards. So, man, I think Washington can get Cleveland. In the West, look here. In the West, it's going to be Golden State, San Antonio. I know everybody said, hey, why are the Rockets? Watch out for the Rockets. Watch out for the Rockets. Okay, let's say we stay with what the standings say right now. And right now, the only three teams that have clinched playoff spots all reside in the West. Golden State, of course, San Antonio. And because Portland lost last night, the Houston Rockets are in. The Houston Rockets are in. So congratulations to the Houston Rockets, Mike D'Antoni and the beard, James Harden. But let's say right now, today, March 15th, let's see what we got. Right now we have Golden State playing Denver. Sorry. See you next year, Denver. San Antonio in a 2-7 game playing Memphis. See you next year, Memphis. Houston playing Oklahoma City. No matter how much you look at Russ Westbrook, that's going to be a great series. However, Houston has way too much shooting. So see you next year, Oklahoma City. Hope you get a couple of more free agents to come down there and play with Oklahoma City. Although Oklahoma City now with the additions of McDermott and Taj Gibson, if they would have had those cats at the beginning of the season, I think Oklahoma would be much better. Oklahoma needs to add one more real shooter. Man, wouldn't it be great seeing Paul George down there with Westbrook. They need one more player like that. One more player like that. They have what they need on the inside. They don't need to add anything on the inside. You got Taj Gibson and you got McDermott with those outside threes. They just need, excuse me, they just need one more great, great player to go along with Russ. And I think they will make some noise next year. Utah, LA. I watched a game the other night. Utah got too much for LA. Utah just has a little bit too much for LA, and LA's got to decide what they're going to do with that team. That team is who they are. They're a 4-seed. That's all they've been, and that's what they go, a 5 or a 4-seed. If the season ended right now, they would be a 5-seed, and Utah would be the 4-seed. I see that going 7, but I see Utah prevailing in that. So the final four in the Western Conference will be Golden State, San Antonio. If the season ended today and the chalk held, San Antonio would be in the second spot, Golden State in the first. You have the Houston Rockets at 3 and the Utah Jazz at 4. Golden State walking over Utah, San Antonio and Houston going 7. And then you have what everybody's been waiting to see. Golden State against San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals, and that's going to be a doozy. That'll be a doozy. That'll be a doozy, but it only goes 6 games, and Golden State will win that. As good as Kawhi Leonard is, if they don't have LaMarcus Aldridge back, Kawhi Leonard cannot beat the Golden State Warriors. And had the Golden State Warriors played their starters and their number one, their sixth man, Golden State would have won that game against San Antonio also on the other night. So I would not put too much stock in the game the other night. Some people said that they forfeited the game. I heard Isaiah Thomas talking that garbage on NBA TV. It's always funny listening to Isaiah talk about teams quitting or teams giving up or any of that stuff. Remembering how after Jordan them spanked that booty in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they walked on off the court and didn't even shake hands, never to be seen from again, the end of the Bad Boys. So, Isaiah is who Isaiah is. So, it is what it is. But, so, hey, the NBA, you know, they used to say NBA is fantastic. This is a great time with 16 games left. I see Golden State going on a run, and it's not just fanboy talking. I see them going on a run because the schedule looks favorable going forward over the next few days. And I think that if you are a Golden State Warriors fan, you should be very, very happy that they made it through this time. They made it through this very difficult stretch of games without having Kevin Durant. You say, well, you know, they lost some games. Okay, so let's see. They started that road trip, and that was against February 27th. They started that road trip. They beat Philadelphia 119-108 with Kevin Durant being a high scorer. They went the next night to Washington. That's when Durant got hurt. They lost to Washington by 4. Washington's a great team. They lost to Chicago on Thursday. So they played Monday, Tuesday, traveled, turn around, played Thursday. They lost Thursday to the Chicago Bulls, 94-87. And then they played Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Now think about what I'm saying. They played Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Wow. Wow. They played the Knicks on the road. They beat the Knicks. They played Atlanta on the road. They beat Atlanta. They then had to fly from Atlanta back home. They played Boston. They lost to Boston. Boston's had their number the last couple of years. Then they went to Minnesota, lost by 1 point. Then you have the San Antonio game, which Ian Clark was the leading scorer. They didn't play. Again, they didn't play their three of their starters or their sixth man. They lost that game. And then they won last night with Steph having 29 points. But let's look at the schedule going forward. They have Orlando on Thursday at home. They have Milwaukee on Saturday at home. Then Monday the 20th, they go to Oklahoma City. That's going to be without Kevin Durant. Let's see what happens. Russ is going to try to go off. But again, it's Oklahoma City, and Oklahoma City cannot beat the Golden State Warriors. So there we go. Then they're at Dallas, Sacramento, Memphis, Houston, San Antonio, Houston. That's March. So in March, they for the rest of this, the month of March, Orlando, Milwaukee, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Sacramento, Memphis, Houston, San Antonio, Houston. Houston, San Antonio, Houston. Again, thank you, schedule makers, for that. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Houston, San Antonio, Houston. Really? Okay. But they're going to play it. I see Kevin Durant being back by Tuesday, April 4th. But he won't play again until Wednesday, April 5th. That's just me saying against Phoenix. They finish the season at Phoenix, home with New Orleans, home for Utah, home for the Lakers. Give Kevin Durant some nice games at home to stretch out, get ready for the postseason. So their last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, five of those last six are at home. Count on Kevin Durant coming back to play April 4th. He'll rest April 5th. He'll play Saturday, April 8th, Monday, April 10th, and Wednesday, April 12th. And then it's on and popping. Woo! I love basketball. Can you tell? I love basketball. So we're excited about what's going to happen because it's going to be some great times. If you are a basketball fan now until June, you are good. Between the NCAA tournament, and I got to shout out to Mizzou women, M-I-Z-Z-O-U. Got to shout out the Mizzou women. They are a six seed playing in the NCAA tournament. They're doing great things at Mizzou in the women's program. I hope the men's program can come back up to where it was. I think they're going to make a little run. I don't see them making it to the Final Four, Elite Eight, but they're going to make a nice little run, and I'm very excited about the future of the Missouri Tiger women's basketball program. So that's going on. So if you're a basketball fan, you have the NCAA tournament, both men and women's. If you are a professional basketball fan, you also have the ending, the last 16 games of the NBA season going into the playoffs, which are like heaven to me, that go all the way to June. If you, even the draft, man, you're going to be talking about the draft coming up. It's just going to be wonderful. I'm excited. I am geeked about basketball season. Another great season that's coming up, baseball. Now, last year, I didn't watch a lot of baseball. I don't know, man. I don't know what was wrong with me. I'm usually all into baseball, but I was watching SportsCenter last night. And man, I saw Yachty. For those of y'all don't know who Yachty is, you may not be a Cardinal fan. Yachty and Molina, first ballot Hall of Famer. One of the greatest Cardinals of all time. One of the greatest catchers of all time. I watched him out there look like a beast. A beast. He was tagging folks out at home, gunning folks out at second. He went long left off of Carlos Martinez. Man, look here. If you are a baseball fan in St. Louis, with the addition of Dexter Fowler, and with Yachty playing the way Yachty playing, I'm telling you, get ready. As Bishop T.D. Jakes used to say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Man, the Cardinals are going to be nice this year. They're going to be real, real nice. Yeah, you know, Yachty been looking a little down and not really playing well, and a lot of it has to do with just his role on the team. You know, when he came up, Albert Pujols, that's a name from the past, was his mentor. He was the guy. And then when Pujols left, Yachty had to become that guy. And it's taken him a little while to adjust. But, man, he looked like he's adjusted. Y'all better get ready. Yachty, I'm going to say it now. Yachty's on that MVP tear. Yachty is getting ready for the MVP. I know my nephew is listening, my nephew Raymond down there in Georgia. I know he's listening. He's getting geeked about baseball season, and I'm just going to throw it out there and let you know, be ready for Yachty this year. I think the Cardinals are going to do it. I know the Cubs are all hyped. Hey, the Cubs had a nice year. That was beautiful. Somebody say, nice year, we won the World Series. Yeah, you did. How many do we have here? Oh, that's right. We have 11 championships. Just throwing that out there. But I see the Cardinals running away with the Central this year, with the NL Central. I see them running away with it. I see the Cardinals doing good. They got some young players. And we're going to do a basketball. See, it's on my brain. We're going to do a baseball breakdown over the next couple of weeks to talk about what this next season is going to look like. But I'm really saying right now, right here, March 15th, 2017, Cardinals in five. There you go. Cardinals in five. Hanging the banner, World Series champion, Yachty Molina, Hall of Famer. I'm going to go one step further. Carlos Martinez, Cy Young. I said it. Carlos Martinez, Cy Young. I said it. Carlos Martinez, Cy Young. There you go. I'm excited about baseball season, as you can see. So man, this is a great time to be a sports fan. Let me touch real quick on some NFL stuff. Some NFL stuff looking really, the free agency is kind of dying down a little bit. You know, those first initial signings, we still don't know what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins out in Washington. Washington's dysfunctional. They're going to have a problem. I don't know what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins. They're going back and forth. They're not going to trade him. Daniel Snyder is going to hold on to him, and this is not going to be a good year for the Washington Redskins. I'm sorry for the Redskins fam. I got a lot of family who are Redskins fan. I'm sorry, but this is going to be a down year. With the signings, Mike Glennon signing with Chicago, making a lot of money. Tyrod Taylor decided to go back to Buffalo, making less money than he could have made on the free agent market. We got Tony Romo still sitting out there. Cowboys are not going to trade him. They're going to release him. It's going to happen sooner or later, or Romo may retire. If I was Romo, I would get while the getting is good. He is not Peyton Manning, so going to another team, it's not going to happen. Remember, Peyton Manning went to two Super Bowls before he went to Denver. People don't remember that. Remember, Peyton Manning went to two Super Bowls, winning one before he went to Denver. That's why that move was a better move for the Denver Broncos. Romo ain't won nothing. So adding Romo to that team won't do anything. They brought Peyton Manning in with Denver because he had been there twice before. He knew what it took to win. And remember, he played. He took them to a Super Bowl that they lost and took them back to another Super Bowl. You say, well, he didn't really take them back. Look, if you believe that Brock Osweiler would have won that Super Bowl, you are tripping. You on some drugs. If you believe that no matter how well or not well that Peyton played in that Super Bowl against the Carolina Panthers, you got to believe that Brock Osweiler wouldn't have got that win. No. That wouldn't have happened. So Peyton played in four Super Bowls. He played in two prior to coming to Denver. Denver is not going to put any money into broke down Tony Romo. If I was Tony Romo, it'll be Houston or I'm going home. Houston or I'm going home. So that's the quarterback shuffle that's going on. Kaepernick, man, I don't know what's going to happen with Kaepernick. I don't know if he's going to get signed, where he's going to get signed. That's going to be interesting to see what happens with Kaepernick. Running backs, Adrian Peterson is out of work. Eddie Lacy has a job. Y'all, come on, NFL. Eddie Lacy's 300 pounds. Seattle, what do you think you're doing? What do you think you're doing? He's almost 300 pounds. You sign him. You got Jamaal Charles coming in. You're probably going to sign him too. But you have AP sitting there, and you didn't want to give AP the money? Man, look here. Let me let you in on a little secret. Come close to the mic. Here's the team I want you to watch, especially if they sign AP. And I'm a Cowboys fan, but I'm going to tell you something, man. If the New York Giants sign Adrian Peterson, they going to be problems. They're going to be a big, big problem. Big, big problem for the rest of the league. Because you have Odell Beckham Jr. on one side, Brandon Marshall on the other side. And you put a running back in that backfield. You give Eli Manning the ability to play action pass. Oh, my God. Because the defense is already rocking. You better watch out. If they sign him, now they may go the route, say we want to draft a kid, we want to build a kid, okay, whatever. But you can still do that and sign Adrian Peterson. I would sign Adrian Peterson in a heartbeat and say, come on, let's go. Man, that NFC East is going to be crazy if they sign Peterson. Because I don't know what's going to happen with my Dallas Cowboys thanks to the other homeboy, Zeke. Zeke, what are you doing, dog? What are you doing? What are you doing? Yo, my next show, we're going to go in a little more in-depth into our college kids, man, and our young pros and how they treat women and how they interact outside of the locker room, man. It's a problem. It's a real problem. And we're going to talk about that in my next show. Something has to be done. It's just too much going on. Our guys, our young male athletes, regardless of race, have a hard time functioning outside of the locker room mentality. They have a hard time functioning. I blame high school and college. But I'm not going to go down that road right now because that's a whole show. That will be a whole show to talk about that. So, I don't know what's going to happen with my Dallas Cowboys. I don't know what's going to happen. Somebody said, well, Adrian Peterson should sign with the Dallas Cowboys. No, he would not be happy because he would not get a lot of carries. So he might want to go someplace where he can regain his former glory, and I think that place would be the New York Football Giants. Man. So, NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, NCAA basketball, we've talked about a lot. I want you to listen to this show religiously. I want you to be waiting for me to drop my next podcast. I love sports. I love talking sports. I'm glad to have an opportunity to talk sports with you. It's also going to be a video attached to this, man. I tried something new today. See if you all like it. I'm going to be dropping some snippets of the video. We'll be talking about some various things online. So if you want to see me and how excited I am about sports, and, you know, sometimes you want to see if somebody really know what they're talking about or if they're reading off a piece of paper. Yeah. Okay. So know that I know my sports. And I know you know your sports too. So I want to communicate with you. Hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up on Twitter. You want to email me? Email me at aanderson@7musicgroup.com. AANDERSON at 7 SEVEN music MUSIC group GROUP.com. aanderson@7musicgroup.com. If you want to drop me an email, if you want to tweet me, tweet at me. I have 7 times sports, SEVENX, SPORTS, 7 times sports. Go ahead and type that into your Twitter and hit me up. Send me a direct message. I will respond to it. I'm so enjoying doing this, and this is just the beginning. Thank you for listening on today. Remember, if you have any questions, any concerns, anything, drop me a line. I can't say that enough. So we can talk more sports, more sports, more sports. This weekend is going to be a great weekend. Hey, man, I might give you a treat. I might come back and talk to you on Sunday just about what we've seen after Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So be looking out. I might drop something special on Facebook live for those who keep up with me. So, look, have a wonderful, wonderful week. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Share this podcast. You can listen to me on SoundCloud. You can listen to it on Blog Talk Radio. Go to Blog Talk Radio, 7 Times Sports. You can listen to it at your leisure. We're going to be on iTunes real soon. So take it with you. Listen to it. Enjoy it. Share it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. And we look forward to speaking to you again the next time. And until that time, God bless.